From the Blue Ridge Mountains to the Chesapeake Bay, Virginia is a mecca for outdoor travel and adventure. Virginia Outdoor Adventures podcast is the ultimate guide for local outdoor recreation, including hiking, camping, kayaking, and so much more. Get the information and the inspiration to plan your own adventure right here in Virginia. I'm your host, Jessica Bowser. Imagine yourself behind the wheel of a fully equipped Jeep Wrangler Rubicon designed to conquer any terrain, traversing the majestic George Washington National Forest as you embark on an unforgettable expedition. Virginia has an extensive network of overlanding trails that cater to adventure seekers of all interests and skill levels. From navigating obstacles and mudholes to reaching new heights at breathtaking summits, you'll experience a profound sense of accomplishment that only the wilderness can provide. Sean Vanderpool and Dawn Creamer from Terra Overland have made the freedom of vehicle-supported travel and self-reliant adventure accessible to everyone. Buckle in and discover a true spirit of exploration through overlanding. Let's go. Virginia Outdoor Adventures is sponsored by Virginia State Parks. Whether you're after a relaxing picnic or a two-week vacation, leave life's daily pressures behind and reconnect with nature and family at a nearby state park. You'll find plenty of programs, events, and activities among 41 parks, plus thousands of campsites, hundreds of cabins, more than 500 miles of trails, and convenient access to Virginia's major waterways. From Cumberland Gap to the Atlantic Ocean, there's something for everyone at Virginia State Parks. Discover your next state park adventure by clicking on Virginia State Parks in the show notes of your listening app. Blue Ridge Outdoors Magazine takes readers deep into the mountains, covering adventure, recreation, travel, and culture. The largest free, independent outdoor lifestyle magazine in the country, Blue Ridge Outdoors is dedicated to inspiring people in the Blue Ridge and beyond to go outside and play. Every issue includes coverage of top scenic destinations, multi-sport spotlights, interviews with inspiring adventurers, new gear reviews, and features on regional music and culture. Check out Blue Ridge Outdoors Magazine on newsstands monthly or click the link in your show notes to visit BlueRidgeOutdoors.com. Sean and Dawn, welcome to Virginia Outdoor Adventures.
Well, hello, hello.
Hi, and thank you for having us.
What do you love about Virginia's outdoors?
I'll tell you, the best thing about it is how much we have and how much is available to the public. That's the best part. There's like over 2,000 miles of just overland trails alone in the state. So come and have fun.
Wow, that's a lot of overlanding trails. And it surprised me because I didn't know anything about overlanding when I met you two. And so when you told me that Virginia was kind of like a hotspot on the East Coast for overlanding, I was surprised. But it makes sense when you talk about how many miles of trails there are.
Oh, yeah, we have and we even have some Jeep Badge of Honor trails. We have one of the most difficult trails here, too, in Virginia is a Potts Mountain Jeep Trail. So it's very, there's a lot to do if you're into, if you're 4x4 curious, this is definitely this East Coast state to come.
That's excellent. And I think people are going to be curious because, like I said, I knew nothing about overlanding before I met you two. So I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of people who are listening right now have no idea what overlanding is. So I think we're going to need to describe or explain what this experience is like. So can you explain the experience?
Overlanding is a lifestyle. It's vehicle-based travel that really, the journey is the destination. It just really is getting out and reconnecting with Mother Nature.
I didn't know what it was either when I came up here, and Sean was developing this company. And to me, it's really being able to get out in the forest, be super comfortable and assured that you are in a safe vehicle that includes every single thing you would need to go for days in that vehicle. If you got stuck, it's not a problem. If you run out of food, it's not a problem. You're going to be able to go refuel somewhere, even if you had to cross water, go over massive obstacles, and things like that. So it's so much more. And what we present to people is everything that you need except food and clothing. And that's that. So if you're curious about this, you should come out and do a day trip. We will teach you how to drive even. So everything is possible with Terra Overland, and we have great communication with our clients because if you call, you're going to get Sean or I, and we'll answer every question that you have about it.
How is overlanding different from RV camping or off-roading or even other forms of outdoor travel or camping?
With overlanding, you tend to get, you try to have that nimble, tight vehicle to trying to get you places where you can't get with those huge vehicles, right? You're trying to take that next adventure. You're the in our case, the Jeep is really just the tool to help you explore. It's not about four-wheeling. It's all about everything combined. It's about the life skills that you learn. It's everything from learning how to start a campfire to how to level the Jeep so you're blood doesn't rush to your head while you're sleeping on the roof. So it's all these things. You're learning all these things. You're putting yourself to the test. It's a lifestyle, just like RV is a lifestyle, just like car camping is a lifestyle. And really, this is just getting you out deeper and further.
The main difference, the lifestyles are very similar, but the main difference is really the vehicles. Well, I think with overlanding, it's, you can go out kind of forever. I think with RVs, they seem to be more oriented to staying in one place and then going out from there, doing adventures in the areas where they have parked their RV or where they're driving or staying with it.
It's getting out and having a great adventure. It's really about freeing your mind, freeing your soul, reconnecting with nature is what it's all about. Getting into the backcountry. It's just getting off pavement. Once those tires hit the dirt, it's a completely different experience.
Yeah, I would agree with that. So I recently got to do my very first overlanding trip with you guys. I can see what you're talking about now, and I didn't really know what I was getting into. Of course, I had gone to your website and I'd done my own research, and so I sort of had a general idea of what to expect. But what I didn't expect was how freeing and liberating the whole experience was. Because once you get into that Jeep and you learn what its capabilities are and what you can do with it, all of a sudden you realize that you can go so many places that you couldn't go before. And that's what I thought was most exciting. I mean, you and I talked about how I'm currently driving a four-door sedan, even though I'm shopping for a new vehicle at the moment. But in that car, I'm really limited to what I'm able to do as far as where I can go. And if I want to go camping or do overnight trips, how many things I can bring with me, you know, which trailheads are accessible to me. And the number of times that I have bottomed out in my four-door sedan is kind of embarrassing. And so when I got into that Jeep and realized that like there were sort of no limits anymore, it just got really exciting. So I completely understand what you're saying. And I think maybe we should talk about what a typical overlanding adventure might include.
Well, absolutely. So let's talk about your experience a little bit. So we didn't really get much. I mean, you dropped off the Jeep and kind of were like, I got to go. So we didn't really get even a chance to hear about the experience. So
that's me. I'm always on the move. Sorry about that, Sean.
I was like, cool. I guess you had a great time.
I think her smile.
You had a smile from ear to ear. So I was like, okay, she had a great time. She was smiling. And I was like, cool, we'll get something to talk about.
Yeah.
So, all right. Like you said, what were some of the challenges and tribulations that you had, like even thinking about it, like what you heard about, like you're going to come to base camp and we're going to teach you the basics and go through like basic training. And I mean, what did you think about? Like, what were some of your, tell us about it. Like, what were you afraid of and that what you actually were empowered and overcame?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think initially I was a little nervous because I was by myself. You know, I had a friend who was supposed to come with me and then we had to change the date because of a thunderstorm and she wasn't able to make it. And so I knew I was going out there alone. And of course, I camp alone. I backpack alone. So, you know, I wasn't super nervous and I knew you weren't going to put me in a situation that I couldn't handle. But at the same time, there's that little bit of, am I going to be able to do this? What, you know, what's going to happen if something goes wrong or if, you know, I don't have a buddy there to help me remember how to do things? So there was a little bit of nervousness, but also I was up to the challenge because just like backpacking and other things that I've done by myself, you're nervous in the beginning, but logically, you know, you can handle it, right? And it's sort of pushing yourself out of your comfort zone to try something new and to be able to prove to yourself that you can do it. So I showed up a little bit nervous. I've never driven a Jeep before, and there was a lot to learn. There definitely was. And you showed me
me step by step everything that I needed to know. But Sean, I'm sure you remember how I was freaking out a little bit when you were telling me to drive the Jeep up these big rock mounds. And I was like, no way, because your first instinct is in a car, you would never in a million years, because your car would be destroyed if you were going to try to drive up a big rock mountain. But, you know, you basically told me what the Jeep was capable of and how it operates and what makes it work. And then we tested it out. And when I drove up that first big boulder mountain, I couldn't believe it. It was like you could almost feel the wheels gripping the rocks and pulling its way almost effortlessly. It felt like it was crawling up this rock mountain. And I was just so surprised by the capability. And after trying it out a couple of times and realizing what this Jeep could handle, all of a sudden I realized, wow, like I can really do this and it doesn't take that much effort. So that was sort of the first surprise that I had on the experience.
So I think what kind of helps people with that fear of never having done this before and all that, I think a lot of our safety features kind of offset some of that, like that you could get a hold of us at any time on satellite and we would literally come out and get you if you were so scared you wanted to come home. So, I also felt those fears and still do sometimes when Sean is attempting something that's much bigger than we've ever done before. It's the same feeling until you do overcome and conquer that. And then it's pretty much just like, woo, we did it, you know?
Yeah. And that's what it feels like. It's like, whoa, I did that. I can't believe I just drove up that rock mountain. And Sean, you were great. You made sure that I was 100% comfortable and you kept asking me every step of the way, like, you know, see how that worked. You know, do you understand now why that works? And then asking me afterwards, do you want to do it again? Do you feel like you need to do it again? Like, let's do it one more time just to make sure. And, you know, are you okay with it now? And you made sure to check in with me the whole way to make sure that I was good before we actually left base camp. So I really appreciated that.
So what's your confidence score now?
Oh, it's up there. I don't know. A scale of 1 to 10, I'd say like 9.5, probably.
I guess Jessica is going to be our next tour guide.
I mean, it does get it's a little bit addicting. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I told you that I'm in the market for a new car and I was not thinking about a Jeep till I was out there with you guys. And now every time I see a Jeep on the road, it's like, you know, you become that much more alert. You're like, there's a Jeep, there's a Jeep, there's a Jeep. And you're checking out everybody else's Jeep. And so, yeah, I can see, you know, this is something that people get hooked on. And you talked about it being a lifestyle and a culture. And it is. Like, I met somebody this weekend who was wearing a Jeep hat and I asked him about it. And he said, it's a cult. Like, just be aware that, you know, it's a cult. And we were kind of joking about it. But I was like, no, I definitely can see there is sort of a cult following. And now I get it. Like, before I had ever driven a Jeep, I knew it existed, but I didn't get it. And now I can see why.
So I guess you missed the Jeep wave right about now.
Yes, I know. The two-finger peace sign Jeep wave. I didn't even know that existed. Now I see people doing it and I'm like, yeah, I want to do that too. I definitely feel cool, right? Like I'm in the club now.
Right. You're like, oh, what kind of gear they have on their truck, on their rig? Like,
yeah, I've been looking online at different types of gear. So let's talk about that too. Like, I mean, we started talking about base camp and sort of getting ready for the experience and going over all the equipment that's in the Jeep. But then there's the camping equipment that's just like, wow. Yeah,
right. So it's not just the Jeep, right? It's everything that goes in it. Right? It's essentially like a $100,000 plus vehicle, right? And who wants to own one of those if you're not using it all the time? If you just want to go out for the weekend or you want to go out with friends and family or your buddy has a Jeep and you want to go out with them, but you don't want to spend $100,000 on a truck, you know, or a Jeep or a Bronco or whatever. It's just not practical when you live in the city. But if you just want to go out for the weekend, it's perfect. It's so we have essentially the experience that you were on is our overnight trip, right? You can go on multiple nights or single night or whatever, and the experience starts at base camp. And there we do like basic training, right? We taught you about your approach angle, your brake over, your departure. We did backing you up, bringing you back down, how to navigate those obstacles. And then we taught you how to, like you said, crawl over the rock pile that we have there. We do have, it's a small 4x4 park that we have down there at base camp in McGaysville. And then we do what we call tent to tires. So we take you out for a whole half day. We go out, we hit the dirt, we teach you how to air down the tire, everything from airing down the tires to setting up the tent, finding your camp spot. We help plan your route. We do everything. There's a 45-minute Zoom call before your trip. So we tailor every trip unique for every person. And it's just a really great experience because it's different for every person. Everyone has different experience levels. And so it's just so many options. Virginia is such a great place. And most people don't realize that Harrisonburg is one of the most amazing jumping off points for overlanding. It's like every trail from the BDR to Trans-American Trail to the Virginia Traverse to Flagpole, Union Springs, Second Mountain, all that is right out of Harrisonburg. And there's so much here just in this area to do, let alone cruising all the way down to Mount Rogers, which is the highest point in Virginia. So it's just, there's so much to do and it's so exciting. And when you came out, you know, we taught you everything. We tent the tires and then we kind of like left you.
Yeah, you did.
For the next 24 hours. So, you know, obviously you went through these crazy challenges. You overcame things at base camp. You felt confident. We drove out in a convoy to the National Forest, the George Washington National Forest. We took you out into an area we felt that you would be very comfortable doing. We took you out to where we went to Flagpole, right? We took you to Flagpole Knob. How was that? I mean, tell us about wheeling. That was your first 4x4 experience, right?
Yeah. That was so fun. Yeah, that was so fun. So, you know, you rode with me and Don, you were in the other Jeep. And so we rode up through GW Forest. Then you showed me how to air down the tires. And then we started going down the fire road. And anybody who's ever tried to traverse that fire road knows that it is not vehicle friendly unless you've got the right vehicle to be on that road. It's full of potholes. There's big boulders. But the views are stunning. And because we did this in early spring, what I thought was really cool is that even though the trees all around where I live in Northern Virginia and most of the state had been leafed out for weeks already, the elevation there is so high that there still weren't leaves on the trees. And so we could see for miles and miles these beautiful mountain views from where we were going up that fire road. But we took it really slow in the beginning, and then we just started going over these huge boulders. And once I realized that the Jeep could handle, I mean, I knew before we went up there the Jeep could handle it, but actually trying it and realizing what it's capable of and just effortlessly with like no real issue whatsoever, just slowly crawling up and over these big obstacles that most cars wouldn't be able to handle was like, whoa, you know, this is really neat. And then when we got to the top, there was that area with those big water crossings, like huge mud puddles. And there was nothing more fun than having Sean sitting in the car next to me going, floor it through the water. And then mud is just spraying everywhere. And it's like a giant playground. I mean, that was really fun too.
Everybody loves playing in the mud. It's awesome. It makes you feel like a kid again when you're up there. It really does. And it's very empowering. I'm sure you felt it the whole time you were behind the wheel and everything. And you stayed at one of our favorite camp spots. I mean, that camp spot, I mean, holy cow. Going out in the park in the middle of the week is like the best. Right? Like you pretty much have the choice of wherever you want to camp. It's amazing. And that was, I mean, you had one of the greatest spots up there.
Thanks to you, because there were a lot of campsites to choose from. And I will say that we were up there during the week, so that probably had a lot to do with it. I'm sure it's a different experience on the weekend, but I pretty much had my choice. But we pulled up to one spot and you said, this is our favorite spot. And the campsite, the fire ring, everything was just right on the edge of the mountain. And all we saw in the distance were, you know, these gorgeous mountain settings. And in the morning, when I woke up in the rooftop tent and opened my eyes and turned my head, I saw the sun rising over the mountain, and there's just nothing better than that. You pair that with the dawn chorus of birds and, you know, sunlight trickling over the mountain and into your tent. It's just, you know, there's nothing like it.
I think one of the cool things about the forest too, is we could actually go there every single day in every single season. There is just different beauty every day. It changes overnight. So there is not a time of year that we won't go out. And we've just seen even just the crackling of the ice when you're driving, or the snow sort of covering the trees and making it like an icicle canopy, and things like that have just blown my mind completely. And Virginia is just has the most consistent beauty I've ever seen in my life and anywhere.
Straight up, the best thing about Virginia is it's four seasons. Every single one is different. Every single season has its different. Everyone's like, when's the best time to go camping? Now.
All the time.
Now. Just come and enjoy each season. You know, in the spring, we have the bright colors and the yellows and the greens. And like, I mean, it's just everything smells just fresh, like you'd never believe. In the summer, is just cool breezes on top. And remember, everything's about, you're at anywhere between 3,800 feet, 4,500 feet, give or take, where you were at. I think you're even higher, probably 4,000. It's a good, 12 degrees, 13 degrees cooler. So yeah, it's just, you get away from it all, right? It's like you're looking down at like the rat race below you and the towns like Harrisonburg, you can see from up there where you were at. And you see all the cars running around, everyone doing their thing, but you're just up there just like, look where I'm at today, you know, look where I woke up. Like it's so refreshing. It's without it, I don't know what I would have done if I didn't find overlanding. I mean, coming out of Center City, Philadelphia, going through a terrible relationship, rediscovering myself and what I enjoyed doing personally, and then stumbling while hiking the AT into some section hiking the AT. And I ran into some through hikers, and he was a jeeper in overlanding. He's like, well, have you heard of this overlanding thing? And I just fell in love. Here we are almost a decade later. And, Terra Overland, I'm now able to give, Dawn and I are now able to give this to everyone and anyone. It's crazy. And everyone that goes is so happy. Our reviews speak for themselves. And, it's just when people come back, I just love hearing the story. And so tell us, let's finish the story. Tell us. All right. So you're out there. You got this amazing camp spot. Tell us about what you ate and how you cooked, and what did you use the scottle or?
Yeah. Well, I love that you've turned this interview back around on me, the host.
What was your experience?
That's true. It was my experience. We will finish the story. But before we finish the story, I just want to touch real quickly on something you just said. You said you really enjoy giving this experience to other people. And that's the reason why I wanted to have you on the podcast, because this is something that typically is not accessible to most people. You talked about the price of the Jeep, the price of all the equipment to outfit the Jeep, and needing to learn how to use all these things. And what you've done is you've simplified that. You've taken the cost away from folks and focused on giving people the adventure and the experience without needing to purchase all these things. So, you know, a lot of people own their own Jeeps, and they do this on a regular basis on the weekends, or it's their hobby. And that's awesome. But for somebody who's not really sure if that's something they want to do, this gives them the opportunity to try it, or to just do it when they want to do it without having to accumulate any gear or vehicles to be able to do it. So I love that you have done that for people. I mean, you did it for me. Not in a million years would I ever thought that I would be Jeep overlanding. And now I almost feel like I'm hooked. You know, it was just so cool. Like, you know, I'm going to be coming back. There's no question about it. And I really love that you two have done that for folks. But yes, let's talk about the rest of my experience, because there's so much more to it. I learned how to drive the Jeep. We went up the side of the mountain. We went to Flagpole, which is this amazing overlook at the top of the mountain. We found the most amazing campsite, or, you know, you led me to it. But then we opened up the back doors of the Jeep, and oh my gosh, it's like a party in the back of this Jeep. You've got our little mini refrigerator. You had storage drawers with anything and everything anybody could ever possibly want or need on a camping trip. I was so impressed with the amount of thought that you put into every single thing that was in there. Like, I literally couldn't have thought of one more thing that I could have needed or wanted that wasn't there. And just the comfort level too. So it was really neat to be able to just pull all these things out and set up camp to open up the awning on the Jeep and to set up chairs and tables underneath and have a little lantern and to have water. And there were lights strung up everywhere. So there was ambiance too. And I got the fire started. And it was just, it was so relaxing. I think I could have spent many days out there. So, you know, you did tell me that it's not unusual for people to book an overnight trip and then call you in the morning and say, can we keep it for longer? So that doesn't surprise me one bit, because that's how I was feeling the morning after. I was like, man, I wish I had more time to spend out here, because there's so many toys, for lack of a better word, in the Jeep to be able to use and utilize and take advantage of, that I felt like I could have been out there for a week. And the creature comforts were just incredible. Like, you don't feel like you're roughing it. You're not. You're definitely not roughing it out there.
You gotta love camping in the woods on a 3-inch memory foam mattress, you know, just 6-7 feet off the ground. And in the wintertime, it has radiant floor heating. All our mattresses too. It's just amazing experience. It really is.
Well, I can tell you on one of my first experiences with it, it was in the fall and it was just gorgeous. And I had taken some photos and everything. And then I stopped actually to look at the photos that I took, and water started coming out of my eyes that I didn't really recognize, because I wasn't sad or anything. So here it was just sheer amazement and, you know, happy tears that just started coming out on their own. I just looked at the photo of where we had camped and it was so gorgeous.
Sean, you asked me what I ate, and I had brought with me some of my own backpacking meals that I made, but also I found backpacking meals in the Jeep. So that was there. There were some snacks. There was a kitchen drawer that had all of the utensils you could possibly need to cook anything. I think there was even olive oil in there and popcorn seeds and salt and pepper and other spices. I was like completely impressed. I'm like, this is a kitchen on wheels. So that was all in there.
Coffee.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's the name of the cooking skillet? I forget what it's called.
Scottle.
It's called a scottle.
Scottle. And yes.
If you've never heard of one or seen one, I highly recommend YouTubing it. And I kind of thought it was like a gimmick myself when I saw it. And yeah, all the overlanders were using it. And it's, you know, I'll tell you though, once you have one, you'll never go back. And the main reason why is it creates kind of like that place where everyone can gather, right? It's round. So everyone's, you're cooking on it. You're eating off of it. There's no pots, no pans. It's literally like utensils and silverware is all you really need with it. You can bake with it. And it's just so many options, super easy to clean. It's cast iron, cooks real well. It pretty much cooks anything. It's super easy. And what we like to do is a lot of people will, when they go out, they'll bring everything with them. Like they'll even bring like the eggs still in the shell. We like to kind of prepare everything before we go out, so we're not out there doing a million camp chores. We just dump the stuff on the scuttle and cook it and enjoy our time out there. You just try to keep it as easy as possible. It's less trash out there to bring out. And we just try to teach and have a great time. And we're just so happy to be able to do this full time.
Yeah, it was really neat. And I think the more you do it, probably the easier it gets, because there was a lot to learn in the beginning. And there's so many different things that Jeep does and so many things that it has, from the rooftop tent and like how to open up the rooftop tent and how to set up the ladder to climb up on the tent and how to, take out and put away the awning, and then everything is collapsible so that it will fit in the Jeep, which means you have to know how to set up the table and how to set up the chairs. And not that any of this is rocket science, right? Like, it's not difficult. Anybody can figure it out. It's just there's so many things. So I think probably the more you do it, the easier it becomes, the faster it becomes. Like, I could see myself doing this a couple more times and then just feeling like an expert and setting up and breaking down quickly. So that was really cool. And like you said, you left me out there. So I was totally camping by myself. Once I had everything set up and I felt like I was comfortable, I still had a couple hours before sunset. So then I went hiking, and I was hiking through the GW forest by myself and just enjoying spring and enjoying the migrating warblers and the wildflowers that were coming up and seeing the beautiful sunset from Flagpole Overlook. And it was just so peaceful. And because it was during the week, I didn't see anybody else. It was just me up there. And I got to enjoy all of that and felt like I have it all to myself. And then I came back to camp and made myself a fire and just, you know, chilled the rest of the night, went to sleep in the rooftop tent, and in the morning, enjoyed a very slow morning. You know, I had breakfast, I had coffee, I just enjoyed the sunrise. And then when I felt like I had had enough, then I just packed it up in the Jeep and drove it back to base camp. And it was just that simple. And I could see, you know, I could see myself doing this again and again.
Well, good news. Dawn's going to make an announcement.
Dawn, you have an announcement for us?
So what I decided to do, because there's a lot of females that I talk to, and they're somewhat hesitant to A, go out in the forest in a Jeep with a stranger man, all of the above. And so I decided that we really need to have more just all female trail trips and overnight camping trips, or whatever kind of trip they are interested in doing. They could be bachelorette parties overnight, yoga things, you know, whatever someone's interests are, we will incorporate it just like we do with all of our other trips. We usually have a quick Zoom call just to figure out the most important things for that person to have incorporated into their trip. We will do the same exact trips, teach them all that kind of stuff, and limit it just to women.
I love that idea, Dawn, because you and I actually had a conversation about this when we were out there together. And you were saying that when you started doing this, that you felt like there weren't many other women who were also doing this. And I think we were even chatting about Facebook groups of overlanders and how they sometimes, not always, but sometimes tend to be dominated by the men in the group. And, you know, just making it inclusive so that women can feel like this is something that they can be a part of as well.
Yes, that is a big problem, because it's just a whole different mentality when it's a whole group of women, because most of the time you are encountering probably 80% men on the trails. And so it's really nice when I see a couple or families and things like that, so that there's a mix of kind of people. But I really think that women need their own trips to go on, and just to get away from everything on their own, just women.
I would love that. And in fact, I was thinking that would be a perfect, like, you know, girls getaway. And I came back from that trip already thinking, like, who am I going to invite the next time I come up? And all these names started coming to mind of, like, women that I like to camp with and how I think they would really be into this.
Well, it's funny, because when we were at Expo first, kind of introducing Overland Expo, introducing the Jeeps, I was, you know, trying to find uses for it. And the women came by and I said, why don't you go out on a girls trip? Because they said, oh, I'll have to check with my husband. I said, leave them at home. Go on a girls trip. What are you talking about? You can do this. So, yeah. So that's kind of what I want to facilitate at this point.
Yeah, no, I would love that. I think that would be great. And I did it by myself. So ladies, if you're thinking like, oh, this is maybe too much or too scary, I did it the first time alone and I came back alive. So I think that other women would really appreciate the challenge. But also if you're in a group, that helps too, because like I said, there is a lot to learn on that Jeep. And if you've got other people there, then everybody's absorbing the information as it's being taught. And then you've got everybody, you know, pooling their recollection to remember how to set things up. And, you know, I don't think we talked enough about the safety features, like the GPS communications and the walkie-talkies and all those things. Why don't we touch on that real quick too?
Yeah, I was very involved in that aspect. Sean is more the technology kind of person, but I was coming from a female perspective as to exactly what single moms maybe taking their kids out by themselves would really need to have. And that's where we extended things to the satellite and everything else that is in the Jeep. We wanted people to know for sure we are about an hour away at all times while you're on your trip. If anything happens, you're nervous, you are scared, you don't know how to use something, you can get a hold of us. So you really are never truly, truly, fully alone. In any instance, like I said, we will be out there. So that was the biggest thing for me, because if I was a mom and, you know, one of my children got hurt or something, I may panic a little bit and not think of all the things that are going on. So, you know, we have the satellite, it's bright orange. You really can't miss it. This is your SOS, you know, get people out here to help me right now kind of thing. Or you can use the iPad and communicate with us to get around something, or to, if you forget how to close the awning or something like that. So there's each level of safety we have addressed. We are always looking for new things to do with that as well. Definitely adding bear spray.
Yeah. And you know, that went a long way for me, because I knew that I could reach you if anything happened. And I knew that if I needed to reach you, most likely it was going to be, I can't get this canopy folded up, or, you know, I don't remember how to put air back in the tires before I get back on the road. I knew it wasn't going to be like a bear attacked me in the night. You know, it was more like, I just don't remember how to do this. So there was an iPad that was mounted inside the Jeep, and Gaia GPS was on there. So there was a map and there were routes and roads, but also you provided me with a clipboard with printouts of all of those things, so that if technology failed, that was available. But honestly, I liked the printout better. It's just easier for me to see a piece of paper and go, oh, okay, I'm going from A to B, instead of having to learn to manipulate the electronics. So I liked that everything was there. And then also there was a InReach Mini inside the Jeep too. So that's something that a lot of hikers, especially through hikers, will use. And it's just a little, looks like a little walkie talkie that you clip to your pack that you can call for help or any other SOS situation on. And that was inside the Jeep. Even though in the wilderness, oftentimes your cell phone doesn't work, my cell phone worked. Like, even though I had all those ways of communicating with you, when I did communicate with you, I just texted you. It was really, you know, it was not that big of a deal. It was not hard to get a hold of you at any time. And I knew that if I needed to reach you in the middle of the night, that I could do that.
Some people, you know, feel comfortable, or, you know, maybe they want to watch a movie or something while they're in the tent. Like you said, there's an iPad in every single Jeep. And the InReach is great, because not only is it in the Jeep, it's on the dashboard there. So if anything happens in the Jeep, we know where you're at. You can send us a text message at any time, or press the SOS button. Emergency search and rescue is on its way. But you can, like you said, unclip it, clip it on your pack if you go for a hike, right? So if you leave, like you said, your camp and you want to go hiking, every Jeep also has two handheld GMRS radios that you can take. So if you have a family and they want to go out hiking, you can stay in radio communication with one another. And every rig also has, and those are about 5 watts. And then every rig has a 50 watt GMRS radio connected to the repeater that's in the park. So the park has a repeater on channel 16, and it's constantly monitored. That way, if something did happen, and a lot of overlanders are also on that as well. So if something did happen, you could just get on the repeater channel and call out. Somebody near you is out there as well. Dawn really put a lot of thought into making everyone inclusive and feeling safe and going out there, no matter your experience level or your capabilities.
When I first did this and really started to feel comfortable with it, like you started to at a certain point, I just stopped, and that day that tears came out of my eyes, what I was thinking at that time was, if everyone in the world got to do this, it would just be such a better place, because that is how much peace it gives you and how much strength it can give you. So it kind of feels like the forest gives you what you need when you're in there doing this trip.
Yes. And the Jeep allows you to do it in a place that you might not otherwise be able to access, because it's different being out there in a national forest alone than being on a campground, say in a state park or a national park, where there's people all over the place because everyone just drove their car into it.
Right. Or their RVs are running generators all night because they have to have air conditioning while they're camping. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dispersed camping is amazing. I know we have a lot of campers and fair weather campers, and we get a lot of clients that never been in the backcountry before. So they feel more comfortable camping at like a campground or something like that, or a state, or even like a KOA even. So there's stuff for the kids to do, like swimming pools and water parks and stuff like that. It's more like a resort. But for me, like that backcountry camping, reconnecting with nature, feeling the sun on your face in the morning, you know, just getting that, breathing the fresh mountain air and drinking the fresh spring water, just as pure as Mother Nature intended it. It's that reconnection that your body really needs it. When I was living in the city, that's what I'd missed. It was everything was keeping up with the Joneses and having this thing and that thing and this stuff and that stuff and being cool and whatever, you know, being in this society or that society. It's like, enough's enough. Like, I lived in the city and I had neighbors that live less than 6 inches away from me, and you don't even get to know them. Mm-hmm. And you come out here and you meet people in the lifestyle and come to Virginia, and it's just, everyone's so passionate in the Valley, and everyone loves it here. And it's true, like throughout history, from the Cherokee Indians to now, people just migrated to the Valley and never left because mm-hmm. how awesome it is here. It's like, it's just people come and never leave. It's, and they're all peaceful, wonderful, and great people. And I'm one of them. And I say all the time, I might've been born in the North, but I'm a son of the South. Like, I'll never go back to the city. I thought back and remembered what was the last thing that I remember making me truly happy. And the last thing I remember was being a Boy Scout with everything on my backpack, hiking the Appalachian Trail. I didn't even own a car when I lived in the city. Like you, I was nervous. I had no idea what I was doing, and I just did it, right? And I'm so thankful that we could do this for people, and that and everyone is enjoying it. And it's amazing to be able to do something you love with people you love doing it with.
Did you know that you can become a member of Virginia Outdoor Adventures? For the same price as a cup of coffee once a month, you can receive a Virginia Outdoor Adventures membership while supporting the show. Members have access to the complete list of links and resources from each episode. Members also receive Virginia Outdoor Adventures vinyl stickers and a shout out on the show. If you're enjoying this podcast, please consider supporting me. Hit pause on your podcast player, go to your show notes, and click on Buy Me a Coffee, where you can buy me a virtual coffee or sign up for a membership. My sincere gratitude for the newest members of Virginia Outdoor Adventures: Kevin from Yorktown, Dara from Fredericksburg, John from Alexandria, Jim from King George, Alexia from Fredericksburg, Bethany from Alexandria, Dave from Fairfax, and Spencer from Chesapeake. Thank you so much for your support. I want to go into the different types of adventures that you offer so that people understand what some of their options might be if they want to take a Jeep out. Before I do that, though, I just wanted to clarify something. Earlier, you were referring to the GW Forest as a park, but I just wanted to make sure people understood that this is the National Forest. I don't want people to confuse it with Shenandoah National Park, for example, because you cannot go Jeep overlanding in the national park, right?
Right. So sorry, I use it interchangeably. My bad. So
no,
the difference
okay.
between a park and a forest, we could cover that real quick. And I'm just going to go over the big ones. The parks are mostly set up for tourists and a lot of tourists. Yeah, you have paved roads, paved campgrounds. You know, you got people on top of one another. You got to wait 45 minutes to take a hike. They have gas stations, restaurants, souvenir shops. I mean, it's a tourist destination. The National Forest is set up for conservation, like keep the backcountry as close to the backcountry as you can. And most of the trails that you're on out there are original, like Cherokee Indian trails, trails that were cut during the Civil War. It's just the history here in Virginia is just amazing. And that, yeah, that's the difference. However, where we like to explore is the western side of the valley, and that's the Allegheny Mountain Ridge. So you have the Blue Ridge Mountains and you have the Allegheny Mountains. And the Allegheny Mountains, we have the George Washington National Forest in Northern Virginia and the Thomas Jefferson National Forest in Southern Virginia, and they're all connected through what we call F roads. So you have farm roads, fire roads, or forest roads. And so we just abbreviate it with F road. And you can kind of just cruise around. You could do the gnarly trails, or you could just stay on a basic fire road and just cruise all the way down to Mount Rogers and have a great time. It's up to you. We say choose your own adventure. Everyone's unique. Everyone wants a different experience. And we're just so happy that we can do it.
You pick folks up from different locations. It's not just your base camp near Harrisonburg, but there are other places you pick people up. Where are those locations?
Our offerings are obviously we do day trips. So if you just want to go out with the family for the day and upgrade to a driver's experience and learn how to drive if you want, we have that offering. And those leave from Massanutten Resort. They leave from McGaysville, our base camp McGaysville. They also leave from Boar's Head Resort and Wintergreen Resort. Each one of those resorts have different trails that leave out of there, and they have different options based on which resort and which day trip you want to go on. The overnight trips all leave from base camp because we like to go through like you did with basic training before we go out into the forest, right across from the Thunderbird Cafe there on Route 33.
You have different pickup locations for day trips only, but you mentioned that people can upgrade and learn to drive their own vehicle. So maybe Dawn can describe some of the different types of adventures that you offer.
So we do offer a driver's upgrade for the trails. So if you are over 25, you're eligible to do that. And once the tires hit the dirt, you start driving. We teach you everything that we taught with the other trip that you mentioned that you took. But the difference is that that person is actually driving the vehicle, which is unheard of. Only in Virginia and only here can you do that, as far as I know, in this manner.
So you're with a guide. So you're with Dawn, myself, Dave. We have a couple guides. The guide's teaching you how to drive. So everything is sitting with you in the passenger seat. And if you have multiple, so the Jeeps fit four people. So you can bring four with you. It's per Jeep, however many drivers you want. And we'll teach you everything from spotting, how to spot each other over obstacles, to how to put it in four wheel low, how to air down. And we do all that. And you could do that on the day trip as well. And then we have the overnight experience. So like you did, you went out on your own. And then the third offering that we have, and this leaves from base camp as well, but we do pickups at the airports, any airport in the area. So Dulles, Reagan, CHO, or Shenandoah. And it's an all-inclusive multi-day vacation. So everything's included, food, guides, it's fully guided, it's white glove. You get however many Jeeps you want to rent. You go out for as many days as you want to go out. And we plan everything, all the excursions. If you want to go whitewater rafting, you want to go fly fishing, you want to hit certain areas in the park. We have one client wanted to do a sea to summit. So we're going to do Cape Lookout National Seashore to Reddish Knob. We're doing a West Virginia trip. So that's going to hit Monongahela National Forest. It's going to hit New River Gorge. And we're going to go whitewater rafting there. We're going and doing paramotors. So we plan, it's like in a vacation, it's like a cruise. You just show up and we'll pick you up at the airport and your adventure begins. So those are the three offerings that we have. And then we do host occasionally once a month, not all the time, bring your own rig trip, where if you already have your own 4x4 and you just want to go out for the day, come along. We take a convoy out of five rigs and we'll pick a trail, a day trail, and we'll go do a day trail just for fun. And just come out. If you've never been out before, you sign up for the bring your own rig, as long as you have a real 4x4 vehicle. We cater the trail based upon who signed up.
So this really is an all-inclusive vacation. Like, you can just show up with yourself and you all provide the rest.
Yeah. It's a convoy. And you just show up, you get in the Jeep, and we go. We have a lead vehicle, a tail vehicle. You're in the middle. We do everything. This last one that we did was really focused on life skills. So they wanted to learn like backcountry skills. So everything from, we went to the gun range and we had a licensed firearms teacher meet them out there and teach them how to shoot. We had a licensed EMT teach wilderness first aid at camp one night. They wanted to do things like that. They wanted to hone their bushcraft skills. So everyone is tailored differently. And it's really awesome to see like how different families are really focused on creating experiences for one another versus buying each other stuff. We're noticing that so much more. It's like, oh, our family's been doing that. One family's doing a 50 state. They're trying to knock out all 50 states, road trips. And they're like, oh, we're trying to do Virginia, West Virginia. And they wanted to knock it out and they were trying to do it in 5 days. And so it's these cool things that people just call us up and like, oh, we have this idea. And we're like, yeah, we could do that. Like, yeah, that sounds like a fun time. Mm-hmm. And Dawn's like, yeah, let's do that. And like, cause it's a vacation for us too, right? We're planning people's vacations. It's awesome.
So I really have one and only one measurement of how fantastic these trips are. So whether somebody shows up at base camp boggled by what's even happening because they had received this as a gift, or if they have totally planned it, when people go out in these Jeeps, they are smiling. They're a little bit nervous, like you said, but they're still smiling. They're super thrilled they're getting to do this, and they have this opportunity. But Sean and I, every single time, say this is our favorite part, because when we see people coming back, their smiles are completely different. They are whole face smiles. I mean, they're sticking their heads out the window. Like, they say, you know, we really only thought about one thing coming home, and that was that we don't feel like giving you your Jeep back. So it's just been so fun to make so many people so happy. And I know so many people probably think that this may not be their cup of tea, but it is. It is for everybody. It's absolutely perfect.
Yeah. And there's so much creativity and flexibility and different possibilities. Dawn, I kind of feel like you're the creative genius behind a lot of these too. Like, you're the one who's always thinking about how can we make this different and better for everyone.
I'm not going to deny that. Sean helps me a little bit.
Yeah. I picked up on that real quick, getting to know you two over the last year. That was obvious.
I lift the heavy things.
I'm the CEO. That's Chief Experience Officer.
Definitely. Now, I'm sure one question that people are probably wondering, especially when we're talking about taking large vehicles out into the backcountry, is how do you ensure that you are treading lightly and protecting the environment while overlanding?
So first off, we don't just give you the Jeep and let you go nuts, right? Like, obviously. And even before you get in the Jeep, you have to sign off on a waiver. And we believe in the Tread Lightly program. So we make you sign off on the Tread Lightly principles. So like, you signed off on your waiver, you had to check every single principle that you were going to adhere to it. And so that's step one, right, is education, making sure people are aware that we have these parks, there are natural resources, they are open to us to use freely, but we have to take care of them, right? We can't just go hot dogging it and tearing up the trails and riding off trail and building camp spots where you want them. You know, you have to respect it. If not, we won't have what we have if we don't protect it. So go out and enjoy it, but protect it. When you're out there, you're in four-wheel low. So it's not, you know, everyone thinks it's like an ATV. ATVs and Jeeps are totally different vehicles, driven completely differently. You know, you're not out there like flooring it, right? You're out there to enjoy the experience, right? The Jeep is just facilitating the fun. We stay at a Tread Lightly areas. So there are a couple that you are allowed to drive through, but not allowed to camp or park in. And then ones that they don't want you anywhere near, we completely, remember on the map, we have those red areas. Mm-hmm. So we want you to stay out of those areas. They're red for a reason, safety and or we don't want you treading there, or there could be a controlled burn there for whatever reason. Maybe the park ranger wants you out of those areas. So we update the maps constantly for our clients for what's going on. Like, we just had a forest fire not too long ago. That we had to prepare clients for out there. So, you know, there's many things you need to be aware of, and treading lightly is our number one. Pack it in, pack it out. Every Jeep has a trash bag on the outside, portable toilets. Everything gets that goes in comes out. The other thing that we do is we also host trail cleanup days. So we know that a lot of people out there don't adhere to treading lightly. So not only is it our responsibility to teach our clients that, but it is our responsibility to make sure that the park is clean. So if we're out there just exploring Dawn and I out for the day, we'll go out there and we'll just clean up camp spots. We host trail cleanup twice a year. So we'll take out like a convoy of people, and that's all we'll focus on is cleaning up the trail. So, you know, we're very active in that, and it's very important to us. The trucks, they're completely controllable by me via satellite. Like I said, I'm a computer nerd. If you're abusing the vehicle, we can just turn them off remotely. So if you're in an area you're not supposed to be in, we have all the stats for the vehicle get sent to the cloud via satellite, and we can pretty much control the entire vehicle remotely. So yeah, it's never gotten to that. Every one of our clients has been completely amazing. They come back with more trash than they took with them. Because when we go out, they see us picking up trash. We're leading by example. So when we go out, like if we're just cruising on a trail and there's beer cans along the trail, we'll stop, get out, pick them up, throw them in the back, in the trash bag in the back, and keep going. And our clients see us doing that. They start doing it. And they're like, oh, we didn't have that much trash for ourselves, but we brought back like two trash bags worth of stuff that we were just at a couple camp spots that we drove by.
I've been impressed with your emphasis on treading lightly and leave no trace. You definitely make sure that that is, you know, front and center of what you're doing. When I was introduced to you and I was introduced to the concept of overlanding, my first thought was, I don't know how you could drive these big vehicles in a national forest and not have an impact. And as a podcast host, I think it's my responsibility to make sure that I am not promoting activities that could have a negative impact on the environment or on conservation issues. And so I never told you two I did this, but I actually called the staff at the GW Forest and I asked them, what do you know about overlanding and what has the impact of the overlanding community been in your area? And they all told me that they have had a very positive relationship with the overlanding community, that they overall are very respectful, that they stick to the roads, that they stick to the designated campgrounds, and that for the most part, they really haven't had problems with trash or people going off road or disrespecting the area. So that's what I needed to be comfortable to be able to do this episode with you. I was really excited to hear that. And that's another reason why I'm really excited to have you two on the podcast, because you two do promote those principles.
If you don't protect it, it won't be there, right? And the idea for Terra Overland is to be that legacy company that could live on forever and bring happiness to people forever. And we can't do that if we're out there destroying it, right? And Mother Nature has given Dawn and I a refresh in life. And we are happy to be able to give that refresh to other people. And I hope you had that experience in your journey. And like you said, you want to come back and do it again. And that's why we don't rent 4x4s. We don't rent ATVs or side-by-sides, right? We rent exploring vehicles that get you out there, you know, and not destroying stuff. Like you said, you just slowly crawled over everything. You didn't rip it through. You didn't destroy anything. I mean, what? We barely went over 10 miles an hour for most of it.
I don't think we even went that. Yeah, I think right. It was even less than that.
Right. Exactly. We're out there to enjoy the forest. We don't want to break anything. We don't want to destroy anything. We don't want to disrupt any wildlife. We're out there to reconnect with Mother Nature, not destroy it.
Sean and Don, thank you so much for being guests on Virginia Outdoor Adventures. I have a couple of closing questions for you that I ask my guests. How can listeners connect with you, especially if they're interested in scheduling one of these adventures for themselves?
So again, we're Terra Overland, and that's terraoverland.com, T-E-R-R-A. It's Latin for earth. And the best way to find us is terraoverland.com. And if you want to anything, call. Just call us.
You will get Sean or Dawn.
Anytime. Just call us. We like to have that personal touch. We like to get to know our customers. Mm-hmm. It's your experience. it starts with that first touch point, right? That first phone call, getting to know us, right? You can go to the website, you can book your dates, you can book your time. If you just want to come and go for the day, you already know what you want to do. And we highly recommend joining our newsletter. Social media is kind of like secondary to us. It's there because it has to be. But we really like to communicate with people who are really interested in what we're doing. And really, we only find that in our people who have signed up, actually taking the initiative to sign up for the newsletter. We send out newsletters once a week, everything from cool trails that we've gone on to new offerings that we have to gear buys.
Great. I will drop links to all of that in the show notes so that people don't have to search for it. I know this is probably going to be a hard question for you because gear seems to be your specialty. I don't know anybody else who has more gear than you two, but what is one piece of gear you can't live without?
The most important thing for me is my personal EDC and everyone everyday carry. And that's going to be different for every person. So for me, I carry a Leatherman, a great flashlight, and a fixed blade knife. And then I carry my one survival item that I carry are Ranger beads. It's the original pace counter. And that's just to keep pace of how far you walked in. So, you know, how far you need to walk out or in any direction, which way you're walking out. So, for survival, I carry, the Ranger beads and, I carry them every day because you need to practice with it. You need to make sure that you're staying in tune and that you're knowing your pace over stress and time and in different terrains and different environments. So it's great to always carry them with you and get used to tracking your pace.
So what is your next big Virginia outdoor adventure?
All right. So we are going to make an announcement. So our base camp is kind of up to this point. We've had down there on Route 33, kind of just for our clients. You know, we have some obstacles there. We do basic training and stuff. But we are going to be spending some time this season in converting it into a 4x4 park.
Whoa.
So, yeah. So bring your rig, put it to the test. We're going to have all kinds of, our goal is probably 5 to 8 different obstacles. Come, you don't have to go out in the woods to have a good time. You want to test your rig. We're going to have RTI ramp there. We're going to have, we're shooting for 8 obstacles, but we also are kind of building an event space as well there. We'll see how it goes. We'll start with probably 5 or 6, somewhere in there. And anyone with a 4x4 can come and play on the obstacles and really learn the capabilities of their rig before they go out in the woods.
You'll pretty much hear more details of that through Trail Mail, the newsletter. So keep in touch. We likely won't put too much work into it until it's a slower season. Mm-hmm. We're never closed, but some seasons are a little bit slower sometimes of year, and that's when we'll put more work into that.
Dawn and Sean, thank you so much for being guests on Virginia Outdoor Adventures and for hosting me on my very first overlanding trip. I do hope that people who are listening to this are going to check you out because I had an amazing time and I know you are creating amazing adventures for other people. So thank you again for being guests.
Can't wait to have you back.
The pleasure was ours. Thank
you. Absolutely. Thank you so much.
I can't wait to be back. Adventure on. Links and resources from this episode are in the notes section of your listening app and on the website at virginiaoutdooradventures.com. If you enjoyed the show, please consider supporting me. The easiest and most impactful thing you can do is visit buymeacoffee.com/Jessica Bowser, where you can buy me a virtual coffee or sign up for a membership. Members receive access to the full list of show notes, Virginia Outdoor Adventures vinyl stickers, and a shout out on the show. You can also support me by subscribing to the show on your listening app. Help spread the word by sharing the show or your favorite episode with friends or on social media. Last but not least, leave a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts. I love hearing from my listeners. You can find me on Instagram and Facebook at Virginia Outdoor Adventures or on the website virginiaoutdooradventures.com. Thanks for listening. Until next time, adventure on.